turn, if you would, in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, we'll read this list that Paul gives. By the way, Nathan and Crystal and the kids are away on a much needed, much deserved vacation this week. They're, I think, hopefully he's off the grid, literally off the grid. A long way from cell service, I understand. So pray that they get good rest, relaxation as a family. Galatians 5, and we'll read verses 22 and 23. This is a text that's familiar to many of you. And by this point of the series, I hope that you are, if you're not familiar with it, maybe by now you're starting to memorize this, at least even by accident, just having to read this again and again each week as we work through that this summer. But Galatians 5, verse 22, Paul says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law." But let's pray before we begin. Father, thank you for your holy, authoritative, inspired, and so helpful word. I pray that you would take these written words inspired by the Holy Spirit and make them living and active in our lives. Would you now open our ears, open our hearts, that we might be hearers of your word, but more than that, Holy Spirit, please enable us to be doers of your word. I pray that you would develop in us these character traits of the Lord Jesus, who manifested them in perfection. Lord, we confess that we do not. We need your grace to conform us to his image. So would you teach our minds now what these fruits are, so that we'll have a clear image in our mind, or clear understanding in our mind of what it is you want us to become like, and what you want us to do, and what you want us to think and even feel as followers of Christ, and that you might form these things in us. That Christ would be glorified in us more and more and more. Father, that's our heart's desire, is that Jesus would be magnified in us because he's worthy. It's in his name we ask. Amen. Amen. Up to this point, we've looked at one fruit of the Spirit each week. And today, we're going to look at two of the fruits of the Spirit at the same time. And the reason is just because they just go together. Now, these all go together in a way, but these two fruits of the Spirit really go together in a way that's hard to separate. And those two fruits are kindness and goodness. If you look in the list in Galatians 5:22, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Nathan preached on that last Sunday. So today, kindness, goodness. We'll cover those two today. Kindness and goodness are two fruits of the Holy Spirit that are just hard to separate. And here's why. It's because one of them comes from the other. Goodness comes from kindness. Okay? Kindness is caring about the happiness and the welfare of other people. Think about it. Kindness is caring about the happiness and the well-being of other people. And goodness is the actual act of attempting to increase the other person's happiness and well-being. So in other words, kindness is an inner attitude created by the Holy Spirit in us. It has to be. An attitude that makes us care about the needs of other people. Their needs may be physical needs. They may be emotional needs. Their needs in that moment may be a relational need, maybe even a spiritual need. Whatever it may be, kindness cares about what the need of the other person is. And goodness is when you put that attitude into action, into words, and into deeds. And so, number one this morning, let me just to give you three things, three simple truths about kindness and goodness. The first two are going to be, I'm going to give you right together, okay? Three simple truths about kindness and goodness. Here's the first one. Kindness is the attitude of caring about other people. Kindness is the attitude of caring about other people. And here's the next truth. Goodness is the act of caring for other people. So just think of it that way. Kindness is the attitude of caring for other people, and goodness is the act of caring for other people. And do you know what you're doing when you do those two things together, when your kindness produces an act of goodness? Do you know what you're actually doing when you do those two things together? You are loving your neighbor as yourself. When you are kind, you care about someone, and you act toward them in a way that is good, you are doing the second greatest commandment. That's what you're doing. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Because you see, kindness has an awareness of other people. And a kindness has an awareness of other people around us. And it has a thoughtfulness about what they might need right now. So kindness may be as simple as a smile to a cashier, okay? Now let's just start at what's really simple and basic here. Kindness can be as simple as smiling at the cashier at Kroger or saying thank you to a waitress or saying an encouraging word to an elderly person or just simply interacting and recognizing and talking to a small child. Kindness can be as simple as that. Now, listen, none of the things I just gave you as an example, none of those things is costly. I mean, none of those things really cost us any time, doesn't cost us any money, but those things do require us to sincerely care about the good of people around us. You know, left to ourselves, we're pretty preoccupied with ourselves, right? I mean, just left on our own, left to ourselves, we are pretty preoccupied with ourselves. I mean, apart from the grace of God, we pretty much only think about our life and our responsibilities and our to-do list and where we got to be next and our schedule and our problems and our plans and our happiness. That's mainly what we think about. But the person who has been growing in the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is growing in kindness. Because the person who's growing in kindness is a person who's grown beyond themselves, being just self-concerned. And folks, that's always what the Holy Spirit does in us, is to cause us to grow beyond ourselves, to think outside of ourselves. The Holy Spirit's work in us is to decrease our focus on ourselves and to increase our focus on God and others. This is what John the Baptist said when they came to the Pharisees came to John the Baptist after he'd been baptizing all these people. Many crowds were coming, and then Jesus came and he was baptized and he called disciples, and now all of a sudden the disciples are baptizing all these people. The crowds are now shifted from John's ministry to Jesus' ministry, and the people came to him and said, "Doesn't it bother you that this guy's come along and he's basically stolen your ministry from you? He's taken all these people and now he's got more people following him than following you." And at the end of John 3, verse 30, John said this. He said, "He must increase and I must decrease." That's what I'm here for. He has to grow and grow and grow in glory and in recognition, and I must fade and fade and fade into obscurity. And within 6 months, John the Baptist would lose his head in an execution. He must increase, and I must decrease. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. is to increase our focus on God, the Lord Himself, and on other people around us. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments. And His work in us is to decrease our focus on ourselves. Less and less love for me and more love for Christ and for others. And so the person who's been growing in Christ is a person who's grown beyond themselves and their own small interests. And that kind of person has developed a genuine interest in the happiness and the well-being of the people around them, including complete strangers. And kindness always leads to goodness. This is the third thing under number one, the third truth that I want you to see, that the attitude of kindness always results in acts of goodness. It always comes out of us that way. So when the attitude of kindness is in you, then goodness will come from you. You understand that? That's very simple. I mean, kindness will cause you to speak deliberate words and do deliberate acts that are helpful to other people. Speak words that are helpful, do acts that are helpful. It'll lead you to deliberately do that. Not just what people call random acts of kindness. No. Deliberate acts of kindness. Deliberate words of kindness. So kindness isn't just this random thing in your life. When you're growing in the fruit of the Spirit, kindness becomes characteristic of your life. You're known for that. More and more and more. See, acts of kindness are what the Bible calls goodness. This is another way of saying this third point. Acts of kindness are what the Bible calls goodness. Now we all know that in the Bible, the word good is used to often describe things that are moral, things that are righteous, ethically good in that sense. But the Bible also uses the word good in other ways. And one of those other ways is that the word good is also used to describe what's beneficial to other people. And probably the Bible's best definition of that kind of goodness that's beneficial to other people, is this short little sentence from Acts 10:38, where Luke writes, "Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good." Now, we all know exactly what that means. We all can picture in our minds exactly what that means, what Jesus was doing. He was benefiting other people. So that's it. There it is. That's what goodness looks like. It looks like Jesus being devoted to the good of other people, doing things that actually help them. I mean, he touched them. He healed them. He blessed them with his words. He cast demons out of them. He fed them. He was good to them and to us. And to the degree that we're devoted to the good of other people, that's the degree to which we resemble Jesus. So do you want to be more like Jesus? Do you? Then show more kindness and more goodness to more people around you. It has to start with your heart. We know that, right? It has to start with this attitude down in your heart. You have to actually care about other people at least as much as you care about yourself. That's the commandment, isn't it? To care about others as much as you care about yourself. Love others as much as you love yourself. And so that's the level. That's the degree at least to which we're to come. And when you care with your heart, you know what you'll do? You'll help with your hands. When you care with your heart, you'll bless with your mouth. Just like the Lord Jesus does for us. And that's the second thing I want you to see. So number two, God's kindness and goodness, it's like no other. Let's just meditate on this for a second. I mean, God's kindness is the true picture of what kindness really is. I mean, if it were not for Jesus dying on the cross, do you realize that if it were not for Jesus dying on the cross, you and I would still be the target of God's anger and God's wrath because of all of our sins? Do you realize that as you sit here this morning in these uncomfortable white chairs? You would still be the target of God's wrath right this second if it were not for Jesus dying on the cross for us. Jesus' death on the cross was so significant for us. So significant. I mean, think about this. Don't forget, you and I were born God's enemies. Born God's enemies. Born in sin. And then we filled up our lives with sin. We totally, totally earned God's righteous wrath for what we've done. Even you. Even me. And we were rightfully the targets of God's anger for what we've done against him. But when Jesus died on the cross, when he suffered his way all the way to the cross, taking the whip upon his back and the crowns of thorns piercing his head and the spit in his face and then punching him and hitting him with a stick, mocking him, when they drove the nails into his hands, into his feet, he paid the price for what we've done in all of that. And he made peace with God for us. He made peace that ends the war. And now think about this. God's aggression against us has been turned into compassion for us. All because of that. So instead of God dealing harshly with us, he treats us with kindness and goodness. All because of Jesus. All because of Jesus, God is gentle with us. We sang about it this morning, how gentle God is. He treats us like a nursing mother tenderly cares for a baby. That's how he treats us. I mean, think about how kindly God treats you now that you're his child. Think about how incredibly good and kind he is to us. He cares about us. He cares about us. Now, that's the last thing the devil wants us to believe. But he cares about us, and he meets every need we ever have. He's never harsh with us. I mean, he is super patient with us. He's super patient with our sins. He's patient with our stupidity. And he hears our prayers. He really does. He comforts us when we cry. He never turns his back on us, even when we're ungrateful, even when we're being disobedient to him. He never turns his back on us. And that, listen, that has to have a big effect on us, doesn't it? I mean, at least it should have a huge, huge effect upon us. The way God treats us through Jesus. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 2, verse 4, he says, it's the riches of God's kindness that leads us to repent of our sins. It's God being so good to us that causes us to want to turn away from what we're doing that's offending him. It's his kindness toward it. It's not his harshness that leads us to repentance. It says his kindness does that. He's so good and so kind to us that we want to turn away from doing what's bad. We don't want to offend him anymore. We don't want to hurt his heart anymore, which is what our sin does. And folks, that's exactly how God draws us to himself. That's how God draws us to himself to save us from our sins. I mean, several times in the New Testament, several times, Paul says that the immeasurable riches of God's kindness and grace has been shown to us by providing salvation to us through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Here it is. You know these words. By grace You have been saved, not works. It is the gift of God. You could say it this way, in terms of kindness and goodness. By grace, it's by the attitude of God's kindness and caring for you, you've been saved. It's the gift of God, the act of His goodness toward you. And so can you see how goodness comes out of kindness? God's attitude is kindness, and His action is good. He cares about us with His heart. He cares about us with His heart. And He saves us with His nail-pierced hands. And listen, there's no kindness or goodness like His. I mean, just look for a minute in your mind's eye. Look at the hands of Jesus. And look at those feet. See the scars that will never go away. Look at them. Look at them, and I want you to see in them the kindness and the goodness of the Lord toward you. Toward you. And remember that your names are engraven in those wounds, Isaiah says. Your name. No one has ever shown you kindness like that. No one. No one even comes close. And listen, just as Paul says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, we'll be compelled to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In the same way, every tongue can also say, the Lord has been good to me. Amen? So that brings us to number three. Our kindness and goodness must grow to become like our Lord's. Because that's all the fruit of the Spirit are. They are the characteristic traits of the Lord Jesus Himself. And our kindness and goodness must grow by the Spirit's help to become like our Lord's. Now, when Jesus had been baptized, and He came out of the wilderness of being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights by the devil, and He resisted the temptation, not long after that, He preached what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. We preached this recently. The Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said some things in that sermon that are convicting and that are really, really practical, really where the rubber hits the road. Here's one of them. He said, love your neighbor and love your enemies. I'll read what He said. He said, you do that, love your neighbor and love your enemies, so that, Matthew 5:45, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun to rise on the evil man and on the good man, and He sends His rain on the just and on the unjust, on His friends and His enemies, you could say. And so here's the first thing I want you to see, some practical points under number three. Here's the first one. Be kind to everyone, no matter how they treat you. Now that's easier said than done. I get that. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. For His help. So just like God's sun and rain, our kindness and our goodness is to be scattered on everyone. Christian, non-Christian, on whoever. And again, not just random acts of kindness, but deliberate acts of kindness. In fact, consistent acts of kindness. Where kindness, as I said earlier, becomes characteristic of your life. That's when we're acting like we're God's sons and daughters. That's when. And when we're being kind like God has been kind to us, you realize that our kindness will become unconditional. Because that's how He's been kind to us. See, the gospel is the root of all of our behavior here. We love others because He's loved us, right? We're kind to them because He's kind to us, unconditionally. Unconditional. Even being kind to those who are not kind to us. That's how Jesus modeled kindness in His own life. And it's supposed to work that way in our lives too. Now, by God's help, Paul says this in Titus 3. By God's help, here's what you're to do. Here are ways kindness works itself out into good acts in your life. Here it is. Speak evil of no one. We call that criticism. Or the judging people, right? Speak evil of no one. Gossiping. Avoid quarreling. That's fighting, arguing. Avoid it. Be gentle, Paul says. This is an act of kindness, to be gentle. And by the way, that's another fruit of the Spirit we'll come back to and look at on its own in a few weeks. Be gentle and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. And folks, here's the deal. A Chick-fil-A employee should not be known for being more courteous than a son or daughter of Jesus Christ. Amen? And they're known for that at Chick-fil-A. I'm not putting that down. I'm holding that up as an example. But Chick-fil-A employees shouldn't be more known for being courteous than the people of God. Amen? Thank you, Chick-fil-A employees, for showing us how it's done. Paul says, avoid these things, do these things, for we ourselves, think about it, we were once fools, foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. We were passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, hating each other. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God and Savior appeared to us, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, no, because we didn't have any, but according to His own mercy, He saved us. That's why we're to be kind to one another. So we imitate God's kindness, we imitate Jesus' kindness when we speak graciously, not haughty, not harsh, not critical, not argumentative. We imitate their goodness and kindness, God's and Jesus's, when we're courteous, when we're generous, when we're encouraging, when we're grateful, when we're helpful to other people. In fact, along those lines, Paul says in Galatians 6:10, he says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith, the family of God. Now, there's a really good example of a really kind man in the Bible. A man who was kind to a sister in the Lord who had brought him a lot of shame. Let me tell you about Joseph, the adoptive father of Jesus. He was a kind man. He treated people with goodness, even though it really cost him. See, when he found out that Mary, his fiance, the modern word for that, what he was, when he found out that his fiance, Mary, was pregnant, you know, he didn't know. He did not know at first that it was actually the Holy Spirit's miracle in her that she was pregnant. I mean, he assumed what any of the rest of us would have assumed. She'd been unfaithful to him. And Matthew 1:19 says, being a righteous man, he couldn't bring himself to marry her. But being a kind man, he also couldn't bring himself to disgrace the girl he loved. And so he tried to end the engagement quietly and secretly instead of publicly so that he didn't shame her. His kindness in his heart resulted in treating her with goodness. Now it turns out that God revealed to Joseph that Mary had not been immoral. No. She was still a virgin, and that God had actually created a miraculous pregnancy within her still being a virgin. This has never happened before in the history of the world. I mean, nobody would have guessed it would have happened like this if Isaiah hadn't mentioned it, right? And in even greater kindness, Joseph, think about it. Joseph stayed engaged to her. He endured the shame of the whole scandal. And it was a scandal. And then he even married her after Jesus is born. And then he still endured. Do you realize he endured for the scandal for the rest of his life? The shame of people considering his wife to be a prostitute and that their son Jesus was illegitimate. Do you realize that? They were still accusing Jesus of that. That's in the Gospels. Go find it. Joseph, the adoptive father of Jesus, was such a kind man. He treated Mary and he treated Jesus with goodness, even though it really cost him. Listen, that kind of kindness, that kind of goodness, that's a grace that the Holy Spirit has to produce in a person. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit inside of us. But you know, sometimes, let's be honest here, it's a lot easier to show kindness and goodness in those special moments where heroics are called for, or where we're going to look really good if we're kind in this moment. It's easy to be kind in those moments. But the hardest place, I think of all, to put this into practice is at home with your family. Here's the second thing I want you to see under number three. Practice being kind and doing good at home. Some of us are really good at this, and some of us in here are really bad at this. See, kindness and good deeds should begin at home. By the way, if you're single, this really easily applies for when you go visit your family. Because it's still your family, right? Things still get sideways, don't they? People still mistreat each other. So if we're out there, we're being kind at work, we're being kind in the store, being kind back to the very kind Chick-fil-A employees. if we're doing all, we're loving those who love us, right? If we're being good out there to people we're not even related to, not by family blood, not even by the blood of Christ or the Holy Spirit, but then we come back home and we snap at our family, or we neglect the needs of the people in our family, you know, we're really not practicing the grace of kindness where it counts the most. You know, when I counsel couples that are engaged to be married, we talk about a lot of important things. We talk about communication and how to resolve conflicts and what are the roles of men and women and marriage and husband and wife. But, you know, some of the things we also talk about are things like, you know, you guys need to figure out who's going to take out the trash. And who's going to clean the dishes? And who's going to cook? And who's going to vacuum? Who's going to mow the yard? Who's going to catch the mice? Or whatever. Right? Who's going to do that? It's those mundane, ordinary, day-to-day things of life that so often become the sore spot in so many of our relationships. Right? But for a Christian that's growing in the grace of Christ, growing in the graces of kindness and goodness, it's those inconvenient and unpleasant and even despised chores that provide the opportunities for doing good deeds for the people that you love the most and that love you the most. Those are the opportunities where it counts the most. Listen, kindness and goodness are so often expressed in the simple act of serving others. Just serving others. You know, it's so upside down and backwards, but so often, as I said a minute ago, it's a lot easier to be courteous and to be kind to not-so-kind customers at work than it is to speak kindly to your own family at home, your own brothers and sisters and mom and dad, children. I mean, somehow, in our minds, it seems more spiritual and more selfless to go babysit somebody else's children than to help mom with the dishes after dinner. And men, we've got room to grow here. There are a lot of little things we can do in the house and around the house that would just be acts of kindness to our wives. So let's do good to everyone, most especially to those of our own family and to those in our church family. Listen, the will of the Holy Spirit is to make you kind as He is kind. That's what Philippians 2, verse 3, 13 says, it's God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. He has to do this in you, and it's His will to do this in you. God works in us both to be kind-hearted and good in our actions. So ask God to do this in you. This is the next thing I want you to put up. Ask God to make you kind with your words and good with your hands. Kind with your words and good with your hands. I mean, pray. God, do this in me. God, make me kind-hearted so that I'll be good to people, especially to the people who are the closest to me in my life. Jesus, make me kind with my words and good with my hands. Listen, so true goodness is self-denying. It's self-sacrificing even. And you know, most people are so starved for someone to genuinely care about them and to be kind to them that even just a little bit of kindness and concern for someone who cares goes a really, really long way in someone's life. It's a little kindness. You know, one time King David was so low and so lonely, he said, "No one cares for my soul." Do you know anyone who might feel that way? Then you've got an opportunity to be kind and to do good to that person by saying something encouraging or doing something that shows how much you care. Two more things before we go, and these will be quick. Here's the next one. Practical application. Don't stop being kind or doing good when it gets hard. Because it will, guaranteed. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't give up." Don't give up on doing good. You know, it's one thing to be kind here and kind there in isolated instances, but it's another thing to cheerfully do it day in and day out, especially when the people you're doing it for take it for granted. But here's the thing. True goodness doesn't look to the recipients, and it doesn't look to the results for its reward. It looks to the Lord alone who rewards those who do good. It's what Paul said in Ephesians 6, "Be kind to others as you would to Christ, not by the way of eye service, not just so people can see you being good or being a people pleaser, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not just to the person you're doing it for, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive back from the Lord." So look for His smile of approval, and you'll have the grace to keep being kind when it's hard to be kind. Listen, when we get to the end of our days, it won't be the profession of our goodness that'll prove the validity of our Christianity. It'll be the pattern of our goodness that'll tell the truth about our Christianity. You know, it's really sobering to read in Matthew 25 what Jesus actually said about how He's going to judge humanity. He said that the test of genuineness of our faith, the test will be whether we fed the hungry or gave water to the thirsty or clothed the needy or showed hospitality to strangers or visited the sick and lonely. Now, let's be clear here. Jesus is not teaching us that we're saved by doing kind things. No. He's saying that our kindness and goodness is evidence that we've been truly saved by grace. Evidence. See, good works are really important to Jesus. And that's why without these things, no one will see the Lord. Here's the very last thing, and we're done. Watch for opportunities to be kind and to do good to others. Watch for opportunities. God is going to give them to you before you leave this room. And he's going to give you a whole lot more after you leave this room. Now, here, they'll look really ordinary. The opportunities God will give you to be kind and good are going to look really, really ordinary. The question is, will you be ready? Let's pray. Father, thank you that before the foundation of the world, knowing our wickedness and our evil, knowing how bad we are, you chose to set your love upon us in spite of our sins. Thank you that you sent your only Son, whom you love infinitely, to live and suffer and die and rise again, to show us kindness for that reason. That you might be that your kindness would be glorified in showing it to people like us who don't deserve it. We do glorify you, Lord. We glorify you because you are worthy. You are good. You are kind. And we know it. Thank you that we know it. Thank you that you've not withheld your kindness from people like us. By your grace, Lord, help us not to withhold kindness from others. Would you put your love in our hearts? Would you put your kindness in our hearts? And would you reshape our attitude away from such selfishness and self-concern toward the well-being and the happiness of other people? Help us to love our neighbors more than we love ourselves. Teach us, conform us, shape us, make us soft clay in your hands, Potter. May we resemble Jesus. I pray for the ones this morning who've never received your kindness by believing upon the Lord Jesus to save them from their sins. They're still the target of your wrath. I pray this morning you would give them a keen awareness of that, Lord, that they would run from the danger they're in and run to your loving and kind and good arms of salvation and believe upon your Son as their only hope, eternal life. Give ourselves now to you, Lord. Conform us to your image. In Jesus' name, amen.